Hi, I'm Lily. I'm the youth minister. And in addition to being the youth minister here, because I just can't get enough of teenagers and their bonkers and exciting way of being in the world, I also recently became a foster parent. I'm in a program called Intensive Therapeutic Foster Care. Kids in this program have very high needs, and because of that, I spent nearly a year getting in-depth training, taking classes, reading books. One of my friends who's a social worker looked at what I was doing and said, "This is kind of my master's program. You're just not getting a grade, just getting a kid." So I spent all of last year immersed in some really cheery topics like abuse and trauma and the child welfare system. And one theme that returns again and again in all of the trainings and the books and the classes is how deeply broken the system, the child welfare system, really is. How institutional and intergenerational problems have stacked on each other for so long and in so many ways that there seem sometimes to be no true solutions, that too often the cure is the harm, and that everyone participating in the system, even those trying to do right by the children and families, is complicit in perpetuating cycles of injustice. And this is not a secret. I'm sure everyone in this room has read an article somewhere about it, but it becomes more obvious the closer you get to the child welfare system, and I'm deep in it. A number of people during my journey have asked me how I feel about being an active participant in a system that so often seems to create just as many problems as it solves. And I've had to think really hard about my answer to that question. And I finally come up with one that I feel is accurate, if not totally comfortable. And I think it also sums up how I feel about being a Christian, especially during this Advent season. Advent is about waiting on God, but not waiting passively, which is what it usually feels like when you're waiting for someone else to get around to doing something they promised to do, like eat their breakfast. Instead, it's about being willing to engage in the discomfort and uncertainty of living in a world full of complications, contradictions, and downright miseries. Today's collection of Bible verses gives us a pretty rich layering, I think, of what God asks of us during Advent, which feels to me like it could be described as active waiting. In Isaiah, the prophet speaks God's promise to cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. And today's psalm tells us that those who go out weeping will come again with joy. And if we stop there, it sounds like today's call is to sit back, to relax, to rest in the knowledge that God will fix the brokenness of the world, and we can just wait it out. It's a tempting indulgence to paper over the pain of the present with faith in the future. Our job in that case is to simply endure, to minimize current suffering with a, "It's only temporary." But that isn't what Advent calls us to do. Because today we also hear calls to action. If you notice in the Isaiah passage, the subject of the verb changes halfway through. It stops being God, and it becomes the people who God has called to restore the devastation and to heal the land. In the New Testament verses, we have calls to action to become sanctified, to rejoice, to pray, to test all things, and one of my favorite images of the season, to make straight the way of the Lord. This is the strange mystery of Advent. We are waiting for something that has already happened. We are eagerly anticipating a victory that has already been won. Because God has already aligned with the forces of righteousness. God has already claimed power over death and darkness. We know that, in the end, life and love and glory win. Those of us who believe in Christ know that this is the reality, that love wins. But those of us who live on earth know that while this may be a cosmic divine reality, it is not our daily reality. Our world is broken. We live surrounded by brokenness, by sin and sadness, by fear and trauma, by injustice and oppression. And it is immensely painful to be asked to participate in such a broken world. It feels easier at times to withdraw, to wrap myself up in God's promises, to come sweeping in on wings of glory and fix everything, and so hide from the messiness and the complexity of the meantime. Every day, I make painful choices. I serve my child fresh produce, knowing that his health is critical to his healing, but in doing so, I financially support agricultural corporations who exploit workers and the earth. I drive my child to school, supporting his education and spending quality time with him and building our relationship, all the while burning fossil fuels and contributing to the destruction of our planet. And in the very center of these choices is the most painful balance of all. I am raising someone else's child. This is a situation in which my very presence represents a terrible injury to a family, and my position is so fraught and so heartbreaking with this balance that I and the rest of his team struggle every day to reconcile what we are trying to do with what we are complicit in. And this is the paradox. This is the blessing and the pain of Advent. Advent calls us to recognize God's promise of healing while also facing the wounds that make such healing necessary. We celebrate the coming of Christ, and we grieve the brokenness that he must come to redeem. But the blessing here is that God does not ask us to fix the world. Instead, God asks us to make straight a path for the coming of the Lord's healing. The verse in Thessalonians today promises us that God is faithful and he will do what is promised. God is here, working alongside us, present in the struggle, promising victory and life. If we make the way, God will walk down it. God does not promise that we can sit back and be rescued from the world. God promises that if we step into the world in all of its mess and engage, that if we find crooked paths and work to straighten them, that if we fight for redemption and wholeness, that God will show up. Participating in the work of God is a blessing, but that also requires that we participate in the mess of the world. This is the promise of Advent. God is coming. God is here. And we are both recipients and fulfillment of that promise. We don't sit back and wait for God to do something without us. God comes to us, for us, through us. For us, God is the way. For God, we are the way. God tells us, keep fighting. The victory is already yours. This is the third Sunday of Advent, but it's also the fifth day of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, which I grew up celebrating and continue to celebrate as a Jewish person myself, so I have to talk about that today. It's in the Talmud. Nobody can deny that. Nobody here knows it's in the Talmud. Brother Eckhart's gone. In the story of the Hanukkah miracle, for those of you who don't know, the Jewish people are left due to war and violence and oppression without enough oil to keep the eternal flame, the Ner Tamid, lit. They only have enough oil for one day, and it's going to take 8 days to get more oil, so the mathematicians in here can see the problem. But the people of the temple trusted in God. They lit the oil, and they held their breath for a miracle. And God showed up, and the fire burned for 8 days. This is what God asks of us in the season of Advent, the terrifying faith it takes to spark a fire and set flame to something precious, to watch something burn in the hope that it will not blow out, that our spark will not be wasted, that in the burning, in the destruction, despite the scarcity and the brokenness, something even more wonderful will emerge. God asks that we light our flames and then promises to keep them lit. We are victory people, eternal flame people, resurrection people, Advent people. We are a people who can trust in the eternal and unfailing promise of a God who will always ensure that love conquers hate and freedom conquers oppression. But carrying the weight of that promise is not always easy. It forces us to look out into a world where love is still battling hate and take our place in that ongoing struggle. Advent calls us to an active waiting, the knowledge that here, now, there is suffering, but our job is to bring a new reality into being by living it out, to trust so deeply in the promise of Christ that we contribute to its fruition. To light the oil even though we cannot see how it will last and fear the darkness when it goes. to pick up those heavy bricks and get our hands dirty as we make straight the way of the Lord.